Good morning, good morning. It's time to start our church service today. Welcome to Murfreesboro Church. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. Let's all stand, sing our first song today, favorite gospel songs, page 54, 5-4. An old hymn everybody should be familiar with, Power in the Blood. Turn over to page 240, 240.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord today. We are glad that each and every one of you have made your way here to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. We're glad to have our visitors with us today. Got several visitors again today, and we are thankful for you coming to be with us here today. If you've been saved by the grace of God, I hope you'll just join right in and worship with us. Now, if you've not been saved, I hope you find the Lord today. The best way to do that is listen to what God has for you in this service, whether it be in these songs or whether it be in the preaching or in the praying. I want you to listen to what's being said because I want you to believe what we're talking about as far as Jesus and His goodness and mercy that He would save you. I want you to get that today. I want you to get that part into your mind. Because if you don't get that into your mind, you can't believe it. No, it's kind of like if nobody ever told you that there was a king of England, how in the world would you ever believe it? You've got to know that there is a real king, and that real king is not of England, but of all things, and that's Jesus Christ Himself. We are glad to have you, each and every one of you, with us today. Make yourselves at home today, and let's all worship the Lord together in this service. I want you to be prayerful for me today. I'm going to try my first time far as preaching since my surgery, and that's almost 4 weeks out, and I don't like going that long without preaching. But the fact is, I'm going to need your prayers today. I've got me a stool up here where I won't wear out so fast. I don't know how that's going to work. I'm used to moving. It does swivel, so Brother Randall said I could turn a little bit either way, but I'm just going to lean in there and we'll see what happens. So y'all be prayerful for me today. We're going to get on with our service today. All right, we always have one of our young people to read the prayer request from our Sunday schools in the morning, and Brother Caden is doing that for us this morning. We'll turn it over to him at this time.
Prayer request on our brother Tim Storms passed away. Please pray for his family. Continue to remember Madison's mother-in-law as she waits on her biopsy. Praise report, brother Sonny is home. Pray for Sydney and Linda, they have COVID. And pray for brother Carter Robinson's father who has cancer.
Appreciate these prayer requests that was made this morning. And we're going to be going to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. I do want to make one quick announcement as a reminder. You may have saw it in your bulletins that we're going to be taking up a special offering today for the family of Brother Kyle Oliver. He passed away suddenly here, I guess, about a month ago. He was only 29 years old, and he left behind a wife and two children. So we're taking up a special offering today for them. And what we'll do, we'll take up our regular offering this morning. But then as you leave, we're going to have two brethren standing out there in the foyer. And if you want to give to that family, just please put it in the plate as you leave is what we're going to do. That way we won't be passing twice. But so you'll be reminded about it, we want to keep that in mind. I meant to mention that earlier, but keep that in mind. And Brother Kyle Oliver and his family, we want to be prayerful for them that they can withstand is, I guess, the best way of putting it during this time. So just be prayerful for them. And if you'd like to help them, please do. Remember them as you're leaving. Okay, let's get back to our service today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody else have any prayer requests? Remember these prayer requests that's already been mentioned. We do want to keep these things on our prayers. And I just hope and pray that we can remember these things. And I know there's some of you that has prayer requests today. And what I want you to do, even if you didn't mention them, you pray for them. Yeah. And what we can do, our Sunday school lesson this morning was about prayer. So what we need to do is use that opportunity to pray. Let's use it today. Okay? Anybody got a prayer request before we go any further? Yeah. Lord help. Yes. Remember this little feller that he can get saved. Somebody else. Let's remember our lost ones. You look around, there's several around here that have not been saved yet. We need to get them on our hearts. I've heard it mentioned that they don't have a lot of concern. Y'all heard that or y'all thought that? How concerned are we? That's what I'm going to ask. How concerned are we? Anybody else? Appreciate everybody being here today. As I said, we're glad to have our visitors with us today. Good to have Brother Tom's father with us today. Would you lead us in prayer? Kept praying whether or not I should do this or not. Wanted to make sure, but I want to give an opportunity for members today. Believe that's what the Lord wants. Now, the way we take members here is by experience in baptism, and what we say about that is, if you've been saved by the grace of God, that's the first requirement of joining the Lord's church, and that is to be saved. You can't be a member of the Lord's church without being saved. What we call it is experience and baptism, and what we say is when that you are joining the Lord's church, you need to give your experience of when you were saved. Now, you may not know exact day, you may not be able to pinpoint the exact position or place you's in, but you know a time and place when you got saved. So that's what we want you to do, is tell about when you got saved. You know about the trouble that you had. You know about when it left and God spoke peace to your soul. That's what we want you to do today. Now, the other thing that we do is take members by letter. If you have your letter from your church of like faith and order, and what I always say is, we're going to make sure that you are of a church of like faith and order. We reserve the right to examine the church and to know that it's exactly like we are. What we say is, being a church of like faith and order, you preach and practice the same things as we do. And we also take people by restoration. If there was a cause in times past whereby that you were had to be excluded for some reason or another, the church will hear your acknowledgments today. They will hear what you have to say. Your apologies is basically what it is. And them hearing your apology and hearing what you have to say, and you can come back to this church and be made a full member with all rights and privileges at that time. So while we sing this song, if you're here today and the Lord wants you to join this church here at Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, you follow the Lord. Amen. He's not going to lead you wrong. You follow the Lord here today. So while we stand and sing, please, if the Lord leading you, you follow Him.
Thank you.
while we continue to sing, you follow the Lord. Now, if you, the Lord was dealing with you that you needed to join here, you just speak up a little while later. And I hope the Lord whips you right good, where that you'll speak up and you'll follow the Lord. Brother Brad, I'll turn it back to you.
I've been wanting to sing a song here for a long time, and it's going to be new to a lot of y'all, but I feel like we need to do it. So choir, y'all stand up. Let's sing a simple song, page 114. It's called It Takes the Blood. It Takes the Blood. Everybody sing.
To Calvary, he purged his blood for you and me. melody's been written, and the words have all been penned, and you've heard the Spirit calling through some old sacred hymn. In the valley of decision, tell me, friend, what will you do? This life has many choices, eternity has two. This world and all its pleasures will soon be passed away. The final invitation could be going out today. You're standing at the crossroads, and the Savior's calling you. This life has many choices, eternity has two. The straight and narrow way leads to life, the broad way down below. What would it profit to gain the world and lose your very soul? Tomorrow is uncertain, our days on earth, this life has many choices, eternity has two. This life has many choices, eternity has two.
Anybody have anything on your heart this morning, word of testimony or anything? We are glad to see each and every one here today. I'm going to try to take a little bit of a load off, but y'all be prayerful for us and pray that the Lord will be in this service. I've already felt the Spirit here today. I hope you have. I hope the Lord is working inside of you today. Let's all be prayerful, and as I said, please pray for me. I need the Lord's strength today. Like I said, I'm rusty. I haven't done this in a little bit, but I just pray that you'll pray for me. It's good to see everyone here, and let's be about God's business today, and let's ask the Lord to help us in this service. Anybody got anything on your heart before we go any further? Reading lesson today will come from Psalm 78. Psalm 78. I want to give you just a minute to turn there. And we're going to read three verses. And these three verses, there is a promise. We'll just say it's the law. And then there is some instruction and the reason for the instruction. And it is something that we need to take heart, take it in our hearts, because it's needful today for us to remember these things. We have a promise that's been made to us, and we need to remember it. We do need to remember also that the Lord has given us instructions as how we are to be as God's people. And then we are to instruct, take those instructions and instruct. And the reason behind those instructions are found in that last verse. And so read with us Psalm 78, starting verse 5. And it says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob." And what I want to say is that testimony was a promise. "And appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Now, I want to stop for just a moment. And like I said, that testimony, it was a testimony. The actual promise was made to Jacob himself, not to Jacob, but to his grandfather Abraham. And that promise being made to him, it became a testimony in Jacob. It was what he had heard his grandfather say. And I want you to understand, he knew Jacob. Jacob knew Abraham, and Abraham knew Jacob. And he heard the words of his grandfather and that promise. Now it says that the generations to come may know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Now, how are your children going to know these promises if you do not tell them? How are they going to know about these requirements of us as far as the law is concerned, about the requirements of our lives, if we don't tell them? Seventh verse, and that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. That's verse 7, reading verses 5 through 7. And that you might notice that they might set their hope in God. As I said, how are our children? How are your grandchildren? Kids, I'm talking about y'all's grandchildren. How are they going to know about Jesus if we do not tell them? If we do not show them that great hope. Now, how many of you think about hope in this way? That it is something that you are longing for, that you're looking forward to, that you have something that you want to keep in mind. That is basically what hope is. It is an anticipation, is basically what a hope is. It's something that you look forward to. How are they going to know about that anticipation if you do not show them what you're looking forward to? Now, in this lesson today, and we're basically going to run between this 78th chapter of the book of Psalms and the fourth chapter of Romans. And you might kind of take this and look and say, where are you going with this? I want you to look at that fourth chapter. We're going to spend quite a bit of time today in this fourth chapter of Romans today, looking at these scriptures here today, because we're basically going to look at that testimony. The testimony of what Abraham left to Jacob. Now, you're going to notice two words here in our reading lesson, and you notice that he said to Jacob, and then he said the law was given to Israel. Well, that's an easy reference, as when the law was given, it was given to Moses, and it was given to the children of Israel there on Mount Sinai. But I want you to take in consideration today that there is a physical side of Jacob, and there is a spiritual side of Israel. And we are that spiritual Israel today. I realize the world today talks about Israel today and about Jerusalem and that place over there in the Mideast. And Lord, I don't want you to take this into account as saying that I don't want to say that they are something, because they are. They were God's chosen people. But they were a physical nation. But we're talking about a spiritual Israel today. And that spiritual Israel is you. And what I'm trying to tell you today is spiritual Israel has a great big job today. It is a job that you have today as the Lord's church to spread this word. Why? so that your grandchildren, well, in our cases, it's our great-great-grandchildren, that they might know of this hope today. Now, you might say, why are you going to the fourth chapter of Romans? You see, I want you to get this testimony first and foremost today. What that testimony was that Abraham left to his family. You see, that testimony is that same promise that we have today. It said God promised Abraham that through his seed all nations would be blessed. Now, I want you to look here in this fourth chapter of the book of Romans, where it says in the 13th verse, he said, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed. You see, the promise was not made just to Abraham. It was actually made to every one of us. Get what he says here in this 13th verse. He said, through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law of error, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. You see, the world at that time, especially the Jews, had gotten to a place where they thought the law was the passageway to heaven. Keeping that Mosaic law, all the male children being circumcised, keeping the Ten Commandments, making sure that they ate the proper foods, that they left everything in place as the law proceeded, even though they had changed some of the laws. And what I mean by that, we've been studying there on the Sermon on the Mount how that the priest had changed the fashion of the laws, even the Ten Commandments, in that they were saying they were not as strong as what God intended them to be. They had changed them in many ways, but they still said, you've got to keep that law. We live in a day and age where many people today, they say, except you're in church every Sunday, you're not going to make it to heaven. Hey, you do need to be in church. Don't take that wrong. You need to be in church, but church is not going to save your soul. Church is not going to save your soul. Hey, I'm a Baptist and proud of it, but a Baptist church will not save your soul. Some people would disagree with me on that, but that's not according to the Scripture. What you need to realize today, that what saves a soul is you relying upon the promise of God, that in all nations, in that promise, all nations would be blessed. Now, that promise was not made just to Jacob, not just to his seed, but unto all the world. To all the world. Now, I have to say that in my opinion, in most cases, the Jews sat on their religion. They sat on the fact that God loved all the world. They set on the fact that they wanted to, that God wanted to save every one of them, but they set on that fact and they hoarded it to themselves is basically what they did. We have churches today that basically do the same thing. They hoard it to themselves. But the promise was not made to just a few. But what the Scripture tells us today is that God's heart, His mind, is to save each and every person in the world that would believe. That's God's promise. Is that not what He said? That whosoever believeth upon the only begotten Son of God should be saved? Is that not the promise that God has made? Now, going back to our lesson today and looking at this testimony, you see, how did Jacob find out about that promise? Abraham told him. Abraham told him, this is what God told me, and I was an old man. He said, I was an old man, is what he said. And God told me I was going to have a son. God promised me that. Now, I want you to think back for just a little bit, if you would. You see, like most human beings, he kind of backed up a little bit from God's promise. He tried to help God out. You know, the first thing he did, he went in at the bidding of his wife Sarah and saying, we can't have children. You need to go in to this servant woman here and have a son. That'll be the promised child. But that wasn't God's way. That's not God's way. You see, mankind has in mind that they can help God. That's why we have so many people out there that are trying to deceive people by saying, well, you join my church, you'll be saved. You do this and you'll be saved. They're trying to help God out. God doesn't need man's help. God could preach the gospel. But God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. But when it comes to salvation, God does the work. God changes the heart. We're going to get into that here in just a minute, if you will. I want you to drop down here to the 18th verse here in this fourth chapter. We're going to get into the promise and how it works. You see, what it says, I told you that Abraham was old. We're going to get into that here in just a minute. He said, who against hope believed in hope. Remember what hope is? It's an anticipation. It's a desire. It's wanting to see something happen is what it was. He said, who against hope, you know, in his right mind, hey, did y'all know that Abraham laughed at the promise of God? He did. What he did is when God told him one time about this promise that he was going to have, he was already up in his 90s and he laughed within himself. Later on, Sarah did the same thing. And the angel of the Lord, he said, why is it you're laughing? She said, I didn't laugh. He said, you did laugh. Remember, God knows what you're thinking. He knows what's in your heart. He's looking at you. He's seeing what you're thinking about. If you have any kind of doubt, God knows it. Right then and there, Abraham had doubt. But there came a time when God had told him about this promise again, and he believed God. He hoped against the hope. What does that mean? In his regular mind, that hope wasn't there. In his regular mind, he couldn't wrap his hands around the fact, him being 100 years old, that he could have a son. That God could take his 100-year-old body. It seemed to be dead. You look at some of these 100-year-old people they show on TV. Maybe you know somebody personally. Hey, you look at some of these forgive me, folks, some of you that's 80 and 90-year-old, y'all doing good. I'm going to brag. Y'all doing good. But you look at some of these that are laying, we'll say, in a hospital room or in a nursing home, and they seemingly the next thing to death, and they look like they can't even come alive. And Abraham, seeing the deadness of his own body, it says, here in this fourth chapter, he's seeing the deadness of his own body and the fact of Sarah's womb being dead. He looked at those things and he hoped, he anticipated against the mind of his hope. You see, he looked at it and he thought, I don't see how it can happen But I serve a God who can. He can make him alive. He can revive him. He can make that body alive. And he says here in this 20th verse, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Do you know what staggering is? Most of the time we think about some old drunk feller staggering around. I've seen them times past. But what this word stagger means is he backed up. He didn't back up from it. You know, a lot of times, and I've done this here in the last couple of weeks, this knee gets a little bit weak, and I'll start to make a step, and I'll step on it, and it won't hardly be there, and I'll kind of step back to catch myself. You step back. You ever believed in something, then somebody kind of challenge you on it, and you go, well, I do. But there for a moment, you didn't hardly believe it all to the all that you could. But you see, Abraham did believe with everything. He didn't stagger at it. He believed completely in that day when he was 100 year old and his wife Sarah, 90 year old, that God gave him life. That he could go into his wife and God revived her wound. And she became alive in there, and there became a child in a 90-year-old woman. Whoo, how does something like that happen? How does it happen? God done it. He revived that body. He made it alive. He made that woman just like she was a 25-year-old woman again, able to bear the promised child of God. He believed what God had said. He said, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform it. He was fully persuaded. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. I think I skipped a verse. Now, 22nd verse, let me back up. Now, therefore, it was imputed. That means it was accounted. It was given to him. It was imputed to him for righteousness. It means the righteousness of God was put in him because he believed. Now, he says, what he says here in his 20th. Now, therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. It showed the righteousness of God in him. Now, this 23rd verse, this is what I'm going to get to. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. So, if it wasn't written down for Abraham's sake that this righteousness was given to him because he believed God, then why in the world was it written down? Do you remember a reading lesson? It says, for he established a testimony in Jacob. It was written down so Jacob could know it. He wanted Jacob to know it. He wanted Jacob's 12 sons, his daughters, all to know how God saved, how God's righteousness was going to work, how that he was going to show them that salvation. He wanted them to see that testimony is what he did. Now, he established a law, is what the scripture said, in Moses. For us as God's people, it's important for us to remember, for us to stand and stand pure as we possibly can. We may not keep every one of the Ten Commandments completely. We may not be a perfect being. But you want to know what's the best way to have a good testimony? Live good. That way, when that God is speaking through you about the testimony of Jesus Christ and that promise, I'm getting to that here in a minute. When God is using you to speak that testimony to your children, they can believe you. You don't want to be like I was. I've told you the story in times past that when I was in high school, I was pretty newly saved. I was running from my calling to preach. And what I had done, I had picked up a language that was not becoming a child of God. And I had told a young man that I was saved. And somebody made a statement to me, and I blurted out something, and I shouldn't have said it. But he looked at me and he said, "I thought you were saved." Now, that's when you go from this height to down floor level. But what I'm telling you, right then in that moment, I had no testimony with him. Now, remember in this sixth verse, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, it says, who should arise and declare them to their children. That's what he's telling us to do, is to tell about this promise. Not only the promise of Abraham about in his seed all nations would be blessed, but especially the promise of that child. That child was Jesus Christ. That child was that great Son of God. That promise that was given to us. He said, back to the fourth chapter, for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe, it says, on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. You want to know where I was going? That dead Abraham, that dead Sarah. If God could raise up the body of Abraham and Sarah to have a child, he could take the body of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary, that he would resurrect him out of that grave, and he was alive, and not for a short while, but forever. Forever and forever is what it says. He said that we would believe in the God that raised him from the dead. Preacher, I thought we had to believe on Jesus. You do. You got to believe in God too. If you're just going to believe Jesus, you know you're short. Truthfully, Jesus is God. But you got to believe that God is Jesus, and Jesus is God, and you've got to believe it with all of your heart, mind, soul, and body. Let's get this last verse, and I'll try to wind this up, Brother Brad. Who was delivered for our offense? Who was? Jesus was. You remember the statement I made a while ago when I said, how would you believe that there is a King of England if you were not told about him? I'm telling you today, Jesus died for your offenses. He died for your sin. That is the promise that was made by God, that if he would die on the cross with our sins upon him, that was that promise that he made. But he raised him again for our justification. In the very fact that he rose again, that means we are able to not only be alive, but that we're justified. We're made pure. That's why we can say our souls are clean. Our souls are saved, that they're going to live forevermore. That's why we can say that, because Jesus rose from the dead, that we can be justified. Now, let me back up here a second. Abraham staggered not in unbelief. All right, sinner friend, where are you at today? Do you truly believe that God can make you alive? Your soul is dead. I'm not talking about your flesh. I'm talking about your soul. And in God's eyes, He looks at your soul as if it was dead. And I want you to know today, He can make you alive. Just as He made Abraham alive, Sarah's body alive, just like God, Jesus made the body of Lazarus alive, and just as God made Jesus alive, He can make you alive. Are you staggering at that? Are you backing away from that very thought? I want you to think about that, sir. Are you backing away from that? I don't know. Are you like that? What I want you to understand, you've got to believe it. You got to believe in that promise. What's the promise? That if you would believe in Jesus, He would save your soul. You've got to believe that He's going to give you eternal life. Oh, you may be looking at this, well, I'm too simple. You may be looking at it as, I'm just not worthy. You may be looking at it as, well, God can't save me. Hey, and you may not believe me in this statement. If He can save me, He can save you. I'm not going to doubt what Paul said when he said that he was a sinner above all others. I won't combat him because that's in the Scripture. But I believe I was next to him. I do. And if I was that sinful and He saved me, He can save you. Was I worthy of it? No. I want you to understand there's none of us worthy of being saved. Was I one that was better than anybody else? No, I wasn't. He saved me in spite of me. And what I want you to know today, He wants to save you. He does. He wants to save you. Brother Brad, that's our message today. While we stand and sing today, I want you to understand today, if you're here today and lost, God can save you right now. He can. He can save your soul right now. If you won't stagger, if you won't hold back on your belief, He'll save your soul right now. You don't believe me? You better. You better believe me, because your soul is one that's on the line. While we sing, seek the Lord, that altar there, that's what it's for. While we stand and sing, won't you seek the Lord today?
Read back hymnal 115. 115.